And we're coming to a new series, a little 4-week series called Standing Firm in God. Standing Firm in God. And there's different aspects of that standing firm in God. Today we're going to be focusing on standing firm in God's will. But we're also going to be talking about standing firm in God's works and the things that He does. We're going to be talking about standing firm in God's wealth and what He has, and standing firm in a walk with God, because there is a walk with God. One of my favorite shows that I liked to watch whenever I was growing up was Gladiators. Gladiators. How many of you remember that show, Gladiators, where they would there would be contestants and they would do battle against the gladiators, and there were different obstacles that they had to do, and I remember one of the obstacles that they had to do is that the gladiator had to stand there on a podium that was usually above water, and the gladiator would be there, and the gladiator would have like a shield right here that the gladiator would have to hold out in front of them, and then one of the contestants, they would get on this big rope, and then they would swing from a platform, and obviously they were trying to knock the gladiator off of the podium and into the water. And that gladiator, whenever they would stand there, you would always tell, because the platform was always around, they would always be watching their feet and where their feet were, because they had to have a firm stance there, because they didn't want to get knocked off of that podium. They didn't want that competitor to get the points. They didn't want them to win over them. And so they had to stand firm. They had to be watching their feet around them. They had to have a strong grip on that shield that was there to try to deflect them whenever they would come off. And you know what? God wants us to be standing firm in His will and what He has for us. Somebody once said, if God calls you to it, God will bring you through it. If He calls you to it, He will bring you through it. You know what? In times of, it feels like times of darkness in our lives, we can doubt God's word in our life. We can doubt God's will for our hearts. We can doubt God, but God wants us to stand firm in His will. And how do we do that? How do we stand firm in what God has called us to do? How do we stand firm whenever it seems like things around us are always shaking? Well, we go back to this proverb here in Proverbs chapter 3. In verse number 1, it's interesting here, and he says, My son, forget not my law. And who is this? This is Solomon writing the book of Proverbs. How do we stand firm in God's will? Number one, we remember God's word. We remember what God says. We don't forget His law. We don't forget His word and what He has told us. We must fix God's law and His commandments as the way that we are going to live our lives. Everything that we do will be ruled by what God says. Everything that comes into our lives, we are going to base that on what God says, whether we will accept that or whether we will reject that, whether we're going to give obedience to that or whether we're not going to give obedience to that. He says, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. So what does that mean? If we're going to keep His law, if we're going to keep His commandments, that means we must know them. We must know His commandments and what He says for us. And this is something that He is encouraging us to do. Not only just to not forget them, because that is a head knowledge of what God wants us to know in His word, but it's also a heart thing. A heart knowledge about God's word. You see, not only are we to look and to read His Word, not only are we to memorize His Word in our heads, but we're also to take His Word and what it says, and we're also to bring it into our hearts. Our hearts. Why? Because out of the heart is the issues of life. It's interesting. Psalm 119 and verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart." In my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. Why? Because this thing called Christianity, this true religion, the only true religion that is in this world, is something that comes from the heart. From the heart. The danger of simply storing God's word in our heads is that, guess what? We get forgetful. Our memories last. We can't remember everything, and there's going to come a time where our memories will fail. But if we hide God's word in our heart, it will remain there, and it will control our response to the circumstances of life around us. You know, it was not easy for an Old Testament Jew to forget God's word. Because one of the things that they were required to do is that on the doorpost of his house, this would be the doorpost of the house, this would be the lintel of the house, but they were required to write God's word on the doorpost of the house. And so now you can imagine every time they wanted to go out and they wanted to go somewhere, they would be walking towards that door, and not only would the door catch their attention, but also what? God's word that was written there on the doorpost of the house. And if they had them written anywhere else. So every time they would go through that door, every time they would come out the other way through that door, they were looking at God's word. They were, wherever they were going, whoever they were going to be with, whatever they were going to do, God's word was there. Where are you going? Who are you going to be with? What business are you going to transact? What kind of fun are you going to have? And it helped them as they went out into this world to live in a way that God would want them to. Now, I'm not saying that having stuff written on your door is going to prevent you from sinning in your life. No different than if you would become a church member. Is that going to prevent you from sinning in your life? But it helps us to remember God and what He says and what God wants for our lives. And you know what a great thing that they did. And you know what? That would be good for us to do. Maybe we don't take and write it on the trim that's on our doors, but you know what? It's good to have verses put up and around that we might know God and His Word. And what He says for us. I know different homes that I've been into, it's so neat that they have scripture written up on the walls. Well, one of the most famous ones is, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. They have written up on the wall. You know, and hopefully that is not just a decoration thing, although a fair amount it can be, but hopefully it reminds us of God. And it reminds us of a commitment that we made to go forward and to serve Him. In our house, we have different scriptures that are written up by many different things that come that are there on the one door. We do have someone who gave us a a copy of the Ten Commandments that are kind of on a scroll there, and we kind of take and we have those up, and you know what, as we pass by them and look at them, you know what, we're reminded of God's Word. We have verses on there about working and why it's good to work for God, about saving, why it's good to save, and different things that are there. And so those things will help us to stand firm in God's will. God's Word will always tell us what God's will is. God's Word is God speaking to us. And so we must know His Word if we're going to stand firm in His will. In His will. We may remind ourselves of Bible verses that we have memorized. But even so, God's Word can be pushed from our minds in the busyness of life. And most of peer pressure, the demands of business, and other things can force God's Word out of our minds. Daniel and his friends, whenever they were being held captive and they began to serve some of the food that was there, his friends began to eat and partake of the food. Maybe they figured, hey, we're exiles here. This would be good for us to do. But Daniel, he purposed in his heart not to eat and partake of the things that the king was serving. Why? Because it was food that was offered to idols. And he remembered that. Because he didn't just have it up here in his brain, but he had it right here in his heart. And it's interesting, I love this because there is a promise here that God gives from His Word, a promise that He will for length of days, verse 2, if we forget not His law, if we let our hearts keep His commandments, He says, we will have length of days, that we will have long life, and that they shall be added to us. To us. Now, who in the world doesn't want to live a longer life? Who in the world doesn't want to have a couple more days here on this earth? And what a great thing. This is the first commandment with promise. This is the first commandment with promise. Turn back in your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. Ephesians 6 verse 2. Ephesians 6, verse 2, even this is a New Testament thing. It's not just Old Testament. We'll back up to verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest livest long on the earth. You know what? That's a great thing whenever we are honoring our parents. You know, that's a great thing whenever we're kind of on the same page with them, whenever we can lift them up. And you know what? This verse here, it doesn't say if your parents are Christian parents to honor them. If your parents are not Christian parents, don't honor them. It says here what? To honor your father and mother, regardless of whether they know Jesus Christ as their Savior or whether they don't. We are to honor them. We are to give place to them. They can still have good wisdom to give to us. They can still be honored in our lives. And it comes with promise. It comes with promise that we may have long days. And what does this go back to? Well, this goes back to the Ten Commandments that God tells us in Exodus 20. in Exodus 20, and he gives that commandment there about honoring thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And it's interesting in looking at the Ten Commandments. I always kind of thought of them as four and six. The first four were done towards God. And the last six were really done towards man. But even in that fifth commandment, there was a writer that put it this way: the first five kind of enjoin duty to God. And how do we know that they're to God? Because they're expressed by the Lord thy God. These things that we do towards the Lord thy God. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So when we're honoring them, who else are we honoring? We're also honoring God. Honoring God. Standing firm in God's will. God's will for us is not to forget his law, but it's to hide it in here in our hearts, that we may know it. That whenever we get to work and those situations come up, that we know God's word so much and that we're so engrossed with it, that we're going to know what to do whenever we're tempted to do wrong. That we're going to know what to do whenever the situations come up. Having God's word put up in our house for us to see it, for us to constantly have it on our minds, helps us in standing firm in God's will. In God's will. Not only must we know his law, but verse 3 says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them about the table of thine heart. And so they were to take God's word and they were to put it on themselves. And what a great thing that is. Not to forsake mercy and truth. This was something that the Jewish people knew and that they did. Turn over in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 23 and verse 5. This was a habit of the Jewish people that were religious, that were devout Jews. They were to wear these things called phylacteries. Phylacteries. We're going to see this in Matthew 23. And we're going to back up to verse number 4. This is Jesus speaking to the multitudes and really start begin to talk to the Pharisees. It says, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all the works they do for to be seen of men, that make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the uppermost room at the feast and the chief seats in the synagogues. And that word of phylacteries there, it's a small case of parchment or black sealskin. And they were worn on the arm, or it was bound on the head that was there, on the forehead. It had four pockets in each. And in each pocket, there was placed a verse of Scripture. Some of the common passages that they put in would have been Exodus chapter 13. Now, why would they have Exodus chapter 13? So that they could remember what God had done for them in bringing them out of bondage. Not only Exodus 13, verses 1 and 10, 11 and 16, but also Deuteronomy chapter 6, where it says the Lord God will bless them and keep them if they honor him and if they keep his commandments. And the scripture portions, they give some reason to that custom. But by this time in Jesus' ministry, This had just become an empty ritual that they did. The boxes that they wore on their forehead and that they had on their arms, it was just something they did because that's what grandpa did. That's what great, 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 great grandpa did. And you see those boxes on their head and those boxes on their arms, they really didn't mean anything because there was no heart in their religion that they had. There was no relationship there that they had with Jesus. And friend, if we're going to stand firm in God's will, we are going to not forsake mercy and truth. We're not going to forsake it. We're going to have it in our life. We're going to have it in our hearts. And it's going to be real, a real relationship with Christ. Not just having a Bible so it can sit on our coffee table, so it can look good whenever other people come in to think that we are religious. But it's opening up and reading God's Word. This Bible that I have right here, it's pretty worn out. Most of the Holy Bible is kind of worn out there, and there were other letters that were down here. But I love this Bible. It's a Cambridge Bible. It's like a $50 or $55 Bible when I bought it 10 years ago. But the reason that I bought this Bible is because it comes with a lifetime guarantee. And you know what? I figured if I'm going to be in the ministry and I'm going to constantly be in God's Word, you know what? I don't want to have to constantly be buying Bibles, buying Bibles, buying Bibles. About 5 years ago, I actually had to replace this Bible. The pages were falling apart and it was coming out. And so I sent it back to them. And they took and they repaired it and made everything new for free. Paid for shipping and everything on the way out. So if you ever are in the need for a lifetime warranty Bible, get a Cambridge Bible. It's there. They'll do that. They'll replace that. But that's what God wants from us. He wants us to have worn out Bibles because we've read it, because we know it, because we're constantly in the Scriptures, because we're looking back to His Word and what it says. And whenever we have a situation that comes up in our lives, we go back to God's Word instead of maybe searching and scouring the internet for what it says, or maybe going to this family member or going to that family member or all those different things. We need to get back to His Word. We need to get back to His book. And that's going to help us to stand firm in His will for us. Being in God's Word. And whenever we choose His Word, we are going to find favor. We're going to find good understanding with God. Do you understand that that is God's will for your life? He wants you to have good favor. He wants you to have good standing with Him. And so how do we do that? We hide His Word in our heart. We forget not His law. And not only are we going to have favor with Him, but we're going to have favor with mankind around us. Because you see, the principles that are in this book, the Word that is in this book, the Ten Commandments that are in this book, these are good anywhere that you take this. I don't believe that there is any business in America that wouldn't want to have even just some of the principles that are in this book, because it'll help their business, because it'll help their employees. But, and that's one of the things that we notice time after time after time whenever we have these good news clubs in our churches. We have these good news clubs with children. They begin to make better students. Why? Because that's the work of Jesus. That's what He does. Whenever we get into His Word, When Moses built the tabernacle, one of the most important furnishings was the ark. The ark was a chest made of acacia wood and overlaid with gold. Kind of the symbol of the humanity of Christ and also the deity of Christ coming together. And its lid was the mercy seat sprinkled with blood, overshadowed with the gold wings that were there of the cherubim. And God himself sat enthroned there in the Holy of Holies. And God's law was placed there inside of that ark. And friend, if you're here and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, whenever you go to heaven to meet God, we're going to see those Ten Commandments that were written on that stone that was there. And what a great thing that was. No wonder he grew in favor with God and man. Jesus was the living symbol of the ark that was there. Are we going to stand firm in God's will? What God shows to us? Lastly, number five, he says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. What a great thing that God gives in telling us to trust in Him. You know, there are times in our lives whenever we can get to this point where we think, you know what, God, I think I have this. I think I got this Christian life figured out. And God, I'll just kind of take it from here. But he tells us not to do that. He tells us to trust in him. Trust in him with all of our heart. How did Solomon get so wise? How did Solomon get so wise? Whenever Solomon was a young boy, and whenever Solomon came into the kingdom that God had helped his father build. This was land upon land. This was nation upon nation that had been conquered. And this was a vast empire that David had that he was passing on to his son. And now Solomon comes in to this kingdom and his dad is turning this over to him. Because God had said that Solomon would be the next king. And I'm sure as Solomon begins to look at all that is there and begins to look at all the people that are there and all the needs that they have, I'm sure Solomon begins to think of, man, how in the world am I going to do this? These people over here have problems. These people over there have problems. How am I going to keep all this together? Not only that, but there's these three tribes that are south over the land of Judah. And how am I going to continue to make them feel a part of this nation? This nation that my father is giving thee. Turn back in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 3. First Kings chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, in Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And God was asking him. God was asking him to tell him what he wanted. Solomon, I want you to tell me what you want. And this is what Solomon said. He said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, in righteousness and uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne. And he's saying, this is the day. Now is the time. And he says, now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. He says, but I feel like I'm a little kid. This task feels too big for me. God, this is your will for my life. You're calling me to be a king in a kingdom, to rule over these people, to know exactly what to do. And we know all the different problems that many people have, and that they even bring to us in our lives and decisions that we need to make. And he says in verse 8, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitudes. There was millions upon millions of them. And you want me to be in charge of them? And this is what he asked for in verse 9. He says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked for that. What did he ask for? He asked for understanding, that he may know. That he may know. In our circles, we call that wisdom. He wanted wisdom from God. And that's the key point. It all came back to God. Friend, if you're going to stand firm in God's will for your life, it all comes back to Him. It all comes back to Him. God has called you to something and to do something. It's no longer something of yourself, but it's something from Him. You are a soldier of the cross. You are a servant of His. And this is a command that comes from the King. This is a command that comes from the One who is over us. And so standing firm in God's will means we go back to Him. We trust Him with all of our heart. In the times whenever we think we understand and we think we have it figured out, we need to go back to Him. Solomon could have came in there and he could have been like, oh yeah, I'm the guy to step in there. I am the guy to do this. My dad was in charge and he passed some of these things down to me, and boy, you know what? I'm the man to do this. But you know what? He looked at God's will for his life and he just felt so overwhelmed. And you know what? Some of the tasks that God is going to call us to do, we're going to feel so overwhelmed. Some of the things that God calls us to, some of the stands that God calls us to make, we're going to feel overwhelmed. We're not going to feel like we can do it. If God ever, if He has blessed you with children, or it's going to feel like an overwhelming task to try to take and to raise them for the Lord. But we have to remember, this is something from God. Those kids are not something that you created, but that's something God created. And they come from Him. Maybe God has given you a ministry at work. Maybe God has given you a ministry in a center. Maybe God has given you a ministry with ladies. Maybe God has given you a ministry with men. Maybe God has given you a ministry with working. And you know that God's will for your life is to do that. And friend, even when times of darkness come, trust God. Trust what God has showed you in the light, because there are going to be times whenever you doubt. There are. there are going to be times whenever you doubt. And you know what? There are many pastors, including this one, they struggle with being in the ministry. They do. Why? Because do you know what we think? Who is God to call such a person like me? Must be a hot spot. Who is God to call such a person like me to stand up here behind a pulpit and to represent God to his people? And why do we think that way? Because we know who we are. And I'm not saying that to gloat. I'm saying that we know who we are, man. We know who we are. And you know what? The more that we draw closer to this book, and the more that we draw closer to God and his word, we realize the more broken that we realize that this is something that is a God thing. And you know what? That's the same way with anybody here that God has called you to be a teacher in this church or a teacher of God's word. You know what? Some of God's working on your heart to do that. He's working on your heart to serve. And you know what? We know that it's not of anything that we can do, but it's something that God is doing in us, through his word. And his word is bringing you to it. You know, it's the same way that God is here. And if God is calling you to be a member of this church, you know what, if you're interested in being a member of this church, I would love for you to come and see me and to talk about that. That's a good thing. But you know what, whenever God calls us to be a member of the church, he knows we're not going to live perfect. He knows we're not always going to do the right thing, and there's going to be times that we fail. You know what? That's when the church needs to be there. And that's when the church needs to encourage us to do the right thing, to do God's will for our lives. We realize that this is all a God thing. This has nothing to do with us, but this has everything to do with him. That's why he tells us to come and to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in him. Friend, this is God's will. If we're going to stand firm, we must know that it is God's will. It comes from him. And not only does it come from him, but he gives us his word to strengthen us to stand. Whenever those times come that someone is trying to come and to knock us off of God's will, to knock us off the path that we are going down for the Lord, to stand firm. Stand firm in his word. Stand firm in his will that he has called us to. And friend, maybe you're here today. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know what? Jesus came and died on the cross for you. That was God's will. Before the foundation of this earth was laid, that was God's will. God's will is for you to be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he wants a relationship with you. And friend, maybe you're here today and you need Jesus as your Savior. He wants to have that relationship. Will you come and accept God's will? Will you believe on Jesus as your Savior?